Father, we love you. We pray that you bless the remainder of this chapter, Proverbs chapter 1, to us. Help us to get through it tonight, Lord. And I ask you to bless it to our hearts. Lord, like we thank you for food when we eat it, and we ask you to bless it to our bodies because we love our bodies so much, even though they're dying and they're corrupt. We care so much about it. We eat our meals and we thank you and ask you to please take care of us with the food. And yet we approach your word so flippantly. I ask you to forgive us, Lord. And I pray you'd help us now as we get into the word of God. We thank you for it. It's such a blessing to have this book, God. I love it. I want it to come alive, Father. I don't want this to be boring. I don't want to be mundane and just kind of wear people out with definitions. But God, I want to understand your word. And I pray that you'd make these words, the words of God, the holy book of God, to come alive to our hearts. I pray you speak to us and convict us. I pray you get this thing into the kids' hearts and into their heads and into the hearts and minds of the young people, the hearts and minds of the older folks here. Lord, I pray, God, you just minister the word of God to us. I pray, Father, you'd help us, Lord, to be alive tonight. Many are tired in the flesh. We ask you to help us with that. May the devil not get the victory tonight. But Lord, may you actually get the victory. Prepare our hearts for the meetings coming up as well, God. I pray that you just prepare us and speak to us and give us a great time together. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We left off last week at verse number 4 and didn't touch verse 5 yet. We went through one sentence. Last week we covered one sentence. What a blessing. Verse number 5, let's pick it up. The Bible says, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. Technically, what you've got in verses 5 through 9 is you've got an introduction to what God's then going to lay out for us. You've got an introduction here. First of all, he says this, a wise man will hear and will increase learning. So this is not just the hearing of the ear. This is not just something, somebody that hears something audibly. This is something that gets down into the heart. A wise man doesn't just hear, he increases learning. You ought to be somebody who's always trying to learn. Amen? We live in a generation that's information overload, you know? We always want more information, more information, more information. But nobody really cares much about what God says or how God thinks about an issue or what God's opinion is of something. We always, you know, we like to Google and find things out. But a wise man hears the words of God, and as he hears those words, he increases learning. So ask yourself, do you know more about God and about the Bible now than you did last year? Are you increasing in your learning? And the Bible says a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. You've got a definition there in front of you from that PowerPoint. I'm going to try to go back and forth here if I can. I'm not very good with technology, so bear with me. But you got a definition there of understanding. We want to kind of beat this stuff into our heads until we come across it and grip it. The word understanding there on your PowerPoint, comprehending, apprehending the ideas or sense of another or of a writing, learning or being informed. Comprehending. You know what a lot of people say? I read the Bible and I just don't get it. You know what you're actually saying? You're not wise. Now, if you're a baby Christian, that's okay to say because you're a baby. And so you say, you know what, I don't get it, so God, please show it to me. But if you've been saved any length of time at all, and you read the Bible, this just doesn't make sense to me. Listen, what you're saying is, I'm a fool. And the Bible says a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding, a man who comprehends what God says, a man who apprehends the ideas or sense of another. So if you apprehend the ideas and sense that God has given in His writings, you're a person of understanding. What does the Bible tell us about understanding? The cross references we looked at last week are right there in your PowerPoint. Job 28:28, departing from evil. Another verse, Proverbs 9:10, the knowledge of the holy. So a person of understanding gets and retains what God's saying and gains the knowledge of the holy and also departs from evil. Now, who in the world wouldn't want that? Evil doesn't necessarily have to do with spiritual wickedness. Evil has to do with bad things that come in life. You realize if you sow to the flesh, you're of the flesh going to reap corruption? That's evil. So a wise person with some understanding sees that, hey, if I do these things, I'm going to reap what I'm sowing. So therefore, I have a knowledge of God and I know that God's going to cause me to reap the seeds I'm sowing. So instead of doing that, I'm going to go the other way. You're a wise person and you've gained some understanding. This is a stupid, stupid generation that has this attitude like, well, I just have to learn the hard way. No, you're just a fool. Amen. I used to brag about that. I used to say that when I was just younger. I'm still young, but when I was younger and much dumber. Well, I believe in going to the school of hard knocks. Yeah, it's a good way to get all the sense beat out of your brain. Ever see a guy that's been punched a lot? The grown man can't even talk because his head's messed up. That doesn't make you smarter because you got to learn. Well, I just got to learn myself. You're a fool. I'd rather live a happy life. I'd rather gain wisdom without the scars and the pain thereof. Have you ever tried to talk to somebody and say, look, I did this and it didn't work for me. Don't do that. And they just go and do it anyhow. Well, that's a fool. What are you going to do? Nothing. A good illustration. My dad told me that years ago when he was younger, you know, he kind of messed up a little bit in money. Not like he went bankrupt or any kind of, you know, bad things like a, you know, bad testimony, but just typical. A young person doesn't know what to do. So he learned some things the hard way. And he went and he told his brother, he said, listen, his brother was single quite a bit longer than my dad was. He said, listen, man, prepare right now. He said, don't get yourself into debt. Do this and save and this and that. And then when God gives you a wife, you're going to be much further ahead. You know what my uncle that my dad advised? He took my dad's advice. He wound up better off than my dad. Living up north, working a meager job with not great, you know, this extraordinary salary or anything like that. Just because he took somebody else's advice, he didn't have to learn the hard way. He has benefited his entire life from that. That's a wise man. That's a man with some understanding. I want to be that man. He shall attain, the Bible says. He's gonna keep moving forward. He's gonna conquer some things. He's gonna attain unto wise counsels. You guys realize that it takes time and effort to get to where people say, he's a wise man. I would love to be 50 and 60 years old and have younger people say, I want to come talk to you. I need some help. If they're soaking it up and they mean it, I'd love to be known as a man who has learned some things that God showed him and understands God and understands the book. Wouldn't you? He shall attain unto wise counsels to understand a proverb and the interpretation. Well, think about the Bible examples. Daniel understood a proverb. He understood the interpretation. He knew God. He said, hey, it's not in me, but it's a God in heaven that can answer what you got. And he knew how to get to God and have God lay out the interpretation. The man was a man of wisdom. The man was a man of understanding. The man attained to something. He wasn't a fool. Think about some fools in the Bible. Idiots who wouldn't listen. And Nebuchadnezzar crawling around like a beast, chewing the grass like oxen. That's a fool. There's some fools in the Bible. Just slap idiots who wrecked their life because they didn't take the time to grow in wisdom and in the knowledge of God. They didn't care about understanding and the words of the wise and their dark sayings. My preacher was very good about that. He always had a way of taking like just a short sentence and just stabbing you with it while he's walking by you. Just bam. And you, whoa. And it kind of like cut you real good. But it stuck. And then as time goes on and as you grow a little bit spiritually, you start going, oh, that's what that means. It just had these little phrases, just little things here and there, just running through my mind. I don't know of any other preacher that did it like he did it. But he had some wisdom. He knew how to say something that you go, what does that mean? And how does that interpret? And how does that apply? It's a dark saying and you don't get it. But with time, a man of understanding attains to those things and goes, now that makes sense. That's helpful. That'll keep me from trouble. That's what I want. Look at verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. There's the fear of the Lord defined. The beginning of knowledge. We always care about knowledge, but folks, listen, there's a lot of bad knowledge in the world. Everybody knows everything about everything. Have you ever noticed that? It's like, well, I Googled it. Well, so what? What was the source? Who was the one that was educating you on the internet? This phantom human being, this phantom wealth of knowledge that you Googled and looked at on the screen, and you're walking around spouting off like you got a PhD. And you know what we do? We give a lot of false information, don't we? We get a lot of false information. Have you guys ever noticed how the news media just has a way of pumping information, it's an information overload. And then later, all the stuff they were saying never comes to fruition. How come people aren't going, hey, we need to talk to you. What was all that you processed? What was all that you produced? What was all that panic that you guys created? That was false knowledge. You're fired. Because your job is to give knowledge. Your job is to inform people. And you produced all this mess, pumping knowledge out there that you don't even know what you're talking about. Yeah, aren't they changing what they're saying? And I'm not positive because I don't even follow it that close. But aren't they changing what they're saying about Ebola? It can only be contacted a certain way. And then there was one broadcast that said it can be airborne. And you know how much false knowledge is out there? And God's people get all wound up and worked up about foolishness when there is some true knowledge that you and I can gain. It's rock solid knowledge. It's got a foundation that'll carry you not only through this life, but it'll impact eternity. And it's right here in the Word of God. It's all here. If you're a skeptic, I challenge you to prove this thing is wrong. I was telling my wife recently, I said, this book is so amazing. You know, you just don't have to get rattled. I'm a doctor. Okay, doc, let's go. And I don't have that intellect. I really have never been tested my IQ, but I don't think I have that intellect. And I'm not a bit intimidated. You know why? Because it's in here, man. You can take a doctor, a scientist, and you can force him through common sense reasoning to say, yeah, I guess my faith is in evolution. I guess my faith is in science. And you can bring a person to where they have to flat out admit they just don't want to believe the Bible because there's some evidence there that if they had a mind to, if they had a heart to believe the Word of God, they really could see your point. You know what you got right here? You got the only source of genuine true knowledge on this planet. But yet we overlook it. We obsess ourselves with studying and with learning and with Googling and with textbooks and with educating our children, which is all fine. Educate your kids. Amen. Amen. I would love to produce some doctors and lawyers in here. That'd be a blessing. Your pastor is going to need a good Christian lawyer that knows his business. Amen. But that's not real knowledge. If we put the right kind of knowledge in them, then the Spirit of God in them will develop them, promote them, and exalt them to be whatever He wants them to be. So the real crux of the issue is that we know what true knowledge is, and we gain true knowledge. True knowledge comes from the fear of the Lord. You looking over your shoulder? Because God's watching everything you're doing. He knows your thought. He knows your motive. He knows your heart issue. He knows what you're thinking right now. God sees it. Well, that's the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Don't tell me what to do. You're a fool. You know why your children resent it when you boss them around? Because it's their little human nature. It's foolish. It's foolish. You ever watch the kids? I watch them while they interact with each other around here. I think it's a riot. Amen. Some of you sit back and go, did you see the way his little one was talking to my little one? Just wait. They're not even teenagers yet. It's really going to get on around here. And unless we got some wise parents, we got big problems coming. And I'm not playing. I'm preaching right now. Amen. Talking recently to a youth pastor and his wife. They said, we cannot understand why parents, adults, get wrapped up excessively in the teenagers' bickerments. Parents in church that used to be friends when they had little kids. What we got right here. They used to be friends and now it's like over kids' stuff. You know why? You got a bunch of fools sitting in pews claiming to be Christians. That's what you got. They're not in the book. They're not studying. They don't got wisdom. They don't got discernment. And they're always ready to run to the defense of their perfect little child. You know what we should ask when we get home? What did you do? Well, they, I'm not their parent. I don't care. What did you do? Well, parents don't have the wisdom for that. Your kids will spin it to convince you that they're right and they're innocent. I got four girls, so don't talk to me about manipulation. And I had a mama, and she was an Italian. So I know all about little boys manipulating mama. Amen, brother. You can see her melt, man. You can see that tenderness, and that's attractive to a little boy. You can see that sweetness that daddy doesn't show. Big, mean, ogre daddy. My poor little boy. You're going to ruin him. No, he's going to make a man out of him if you don't get out of the way. You're going to make a metro out of him. Amen. I don't know where that came from, but that was free. Fools don't like it. They don't like it. My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. So listen up, man. Your dad, even if he isn't as holy as you, has been around longer than you and cares about you. So listen to him. Hear the instruction of my father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Why do we get this rebellious streak in us where we just have to just, well, I'm my own person. No, you're a fool. You're a fool. You become your own person when you two become one flesh and that preacher declares you man and wife. Now it's you guys under him. Until then, knock it off. And by the way, you're never going to get out from under authority.
Well, I'm going to be the head pastor.
Trust me, you're not out from under authority. If God's going to bless that thing, you constantly have to check yourself and submit yourself and not fight the battles you want to fight and not deal with the things you want to deal with because somebody is an authority over you and his name is Almighty God. And that's his bride. So you don't find a job in life or a career in life. And don't even try this if you're into it for the career. It ain't a career. It's a calling. Big difference. It ain't work. It's ministry. Big difference. Laboring in God's field. But listen, you never get out from under authority. So just get the attitude that I'm going to hear some instruction. I'm not going to forsake the laws that God gives that are good. I'm going to accept them. I'm going to reach out for him. In verse 9, this will be an ornament of grace under thy head and chains about thy neck. You guys realize that the person that seeks wisdom and follows wisdom and acquires wisdom and gets to know God and gains understanding, inadvertently, a person doing it for the right reasons, inadvertently gets grace and honor bestowed on them. Ain't that wild? So what you're doing is you're saying, God, I'm an idiot. I'm a fool. I'm a mess. I'm a train wreck. I got no idea what I'm doing in this life. And I need some help. So I'm going to seek after your wisdom. I'm going to seek after pure knowledge. I'm going to seek after understanding. I'm going to have an ear to hear, a heart to listen. I'm going to follow. I'm going to do right. God, please help me. And while you're humbling and abasing yourself and attaining unto these things, God then turns around and bestows on you honor you don't even really deserve. Ain't that a blessing? Ever have somebody compliment you? And you go, oh, are they talking about me? It's got to be a dream because I know me. God said it'll be an ornament to you. It'll be grace to you. It'll be chains about your neck. This is the stuff in life that matters, and that's the introduction. So we're going to be here till 8. No, I'm just kidding. I don't want you moms throwing stuff at me. You've been struggling with kids all day long. I get you. I hear you. I understand. All right, look at verse 10. Verses 10 through 19, we're going to see the counsel of wisdom. And it's going to move faster because we're going to take them in chunks. All right, I'm going to try to get you guys through this book and not bog you down with definitions. And we want to move through, but I want to cover this stuff because it's good stuff. Verses 10 through 19, you've got the counsel of wisdom. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us wait, lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that... When I was a young kid, when I was a young boy, I'd read this. I read this over and over and over again. I don't know what it was. You know what I had in my mind when I was a kid? I'm sorry, this is also free. We are going to be here till late. No. When I was a kid, you know what I had in my mind? I could see like the Lone Ranger and Tonto. And the bad guys hiding on the rocks as they're riding around, you know, in that little gravel pit on their horses. And they're just going to, with their masks on, and they're waiting to jump them. Kind of cool stuff. Hey. Amen. Let us swallow them up, verse 12, alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down to the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our house with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us, and let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, and they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of every one that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Now he just said a whole lot. And what he kind of did is give you like an illustration to explain the proverb. So what he's saying is this. First of all, he's showing us that you and I, if we're going to have true wisdom, it's going to teach us what to avoid. True wisdom keeps you from getting it in the neck. Because what happens here is these guys, look down at verse number 19. You're going to, in your life, you're going to run into people who have a motive in their life. Watch verse 19. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain. You are going, listen to me, mark my words, you are going to run into people who just want to make a buck. That's all they care about. Their motive in life, what they will sell their soul to the devil for, is money. All they care about is scratching up that filthy lucre. They're greedy of gain. And listen, if you haven't yet, you just haven't been breathing air long enough, you're going to run into it. You're going to run into people who have this pyramid scheme. This plan on how to make money. And man, they know how to get filthy rich. You guys see these dudes arrested recently for buying up cell phones? No questions asked? Guys walking off the street with cell phones and hand them boxes full of cell phones, and they take the cell phones and then they sell them overseas? Stinking busted, man. Had no idea Homeland Security is watching them. I'm talking young guy, late 20s, pulling in his car, family man. Parking his nice car, getting out of his fancy car, talking on his cell phone, khakis and a polo. I mean, he is the man. I mean, bling, bling, man. He is filthy. They confiscated $900,000 cash. He's the man. He has no idea they got a camera on him and they're watching him. And he's making that money. Oh, I didn't steal them. What, dude? No. We just give them, we pay top dollar for them, because then they sell them overseas. And the problem is, Homeland Security is saying they can use these things, terrorists can get a hold of these things, but they can use these things. This is highly illegal. You're going to run into somebody who's got some kind of a scheme. Listen, please, if you're into a pyramid scheme, I have no idea of any one of them going on in this building at all right now, okay? So this is not a shot, because for all I know, somebody's here trying to get everybody else into selling something with them. Please don't turn church into harassment. You are not here to make money. You don't come to church to network, to get other people in to buy your product, to sign up under you so that they make money and you make money off the money they're making. Listen, keep your get-rich-quick schemes. If you want that, do it on the job. And if you become a nuisance there, they will fire you for conflict of interest. This is the house of God. People should not have to go, oh no, here she comes again. Oh no, here he comes again. Okay, I guess I'll do it. But we all can get wrapped up into that stuff, can't we? And it's easy to do. Just back off. Let it go. I've had them come to me, man. They'll give you a great sales pitch. Here's how we can make money. And this is what you got to do it. And I'm like, oh yeah, okay. Before I know it, I'm like, I don't even know what I'm really into. And there's a lot of evil stuff in this world, folks. I'll never forget my sales career. I had this guy, I used to go and I used to buy stuff from him. We used to sell stuff. And he'd come in and he'd say, "Now listen, Mike, here's what you got to do. Wrap this in with the product you're selling." I said, "The customer's not going to need that." He said, "They can put it in their closet." I said, "But they're never going to use that. You know that's not even, it doesn't even work." He said, "So what? It's a nice paperweight." He says, "Just wrap it in. They'll never know it's there." I said, "But, you know," he says, "dude, it only changes their price like $5 a month. They're not going to know the difference. Just tell them it was, that the interest rates went up or something." I'm like, how can I do that? He's like, "You're going to make 250 extra bucks." No, that ain't right, man. You know what I got to do every morning? I don't do it every morning. I got to stand and I got to shave that face. And if I can't look myself straight in the eyes, I'll never wear another white shirt because I'll just be covered in blood. Yet I'll butcher myself up so much I'm bleeding. It's supposed to be funny. I got to be able to look myself in the eyes. My character is worth more than 250 lousy bucks. Raising my children with the right heart about money is more important than 250 bucks. I don't want to sell myself short for that. But man, they're out there. They'll get you wrapped up in that stuff. And what's the motive? The motive is greed. You guys realize greed is satanic in origin? He had it all. And he said, "I got one thing left. I want that." Your greed can't be satisfied. "Oh, if I just had this," yeah, you wouldn't be happy with that. "If we just drove a nicer car, if our car was just..." Yeah, you won't be happy with that. It's never enough. So when you get around people who've got greedy motives and selfish motives and they try to get you wrapped up into what they're doing, what they want to do is pull you down to their level so they feel better about what you're doing, what they're doing, because now you're doing what they're doing. Listen, folks, don't get caught by the greed bug. You know what else is funny about these guys? In verses 11 through 13, they seem to have it all worked out. "Come with us. Let us lay wait for blood. Let us work privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as they go down a bit. And we shall find all precious substance." How do you know that guy ain't broke? Now you just set him up, you jumped him, and he didn't have anything on him. So you had to beat him down real good to subdue him, because he didn't get all the stuff you thought he had without working for it. He's going to fight for it. But he had nothing on him. Now you're going to jail. Did you ever notice how the idiots always have all the answers? Do you know people like this? You know what I'm talking about? They always say, "This is how it's going to work out. We'll fill our houses with spoil. This is how it's going to work out. And it's all going to work out fine." How do you know that? But they got all the answers. They got it mapped out. They've been studying it. They're ready. And they want you in it with them. Well, the man of wisdom goes, "You know what? I don't need money that bad. Hey, I could give you names. I'll never forget. It hit me like a ton of bricks. I was probably 8 years old. Maybe 10 at the most. And a man in the church had a wife in the church. A good family. I'm saying I don't want to use any one of you as an illustration, but the families you look to in here is a solid family that you trust and you believe in. It'd be like one of those families, one of these men that are here every time." He got up against the ropes, man. He was working a factory job. He got into all kind of trouble financially. He got up against the ropes. And some idiot came along at work and said, "Hey, man, make a ton of money selling this stuff." And he said, "I'll turn a quick buck. I got to take care of my family." So instead of just selling it, he decided to snort a little. And before you know it, he lost his wife. I'll never forget saying, "Yeah, he's getting kicked out. They're going through a divorce." And everybody's talking about it around the church. And I was just, because he was the coolest guy. He always got my attention. He was a man's man. I was a little boy. I always noticed him. And I thought, I was just, that was my first understanding of what drugs was. Nowadays, they hear the stuff way earlier than that. That was the first time it ever hit me, like, oh. And I thought, what a horrifying thing. It ruined a family. You guys realize it was not long till that man was dead? He shot himself. He was so miserable. How did I ever get in this position? He shot himself. You guys, God will provide your need.
Yes, amen.
And if you're that desperate, you need to find another way to do it. Because you're going to get through the tough spot. And don't cast your lot in with them. You know what this says? We'll all have one purse. We'll divide it evenly. That never, ever, ever happens. There is always an alpha male who will say, nope, I'm taking a higher percentage. I'll pay you guys if you'll stick around and do my bidding next time. And if you don't like that, I'll prove to you I'm the man. Always. Whether it's corporate and he does it because he has business power, or whether it's ghetto and he does it because he's got muscle and guns and the guts to do it. It never works out that way. Come on, man. Come on, come on, come on. We'll take care of each other. We got your back. We'll take care of you. Yeah, right. It starts when they're little. And they say, come on, I won't tell if you don't tell. They'll always tell. They'll always tell. Because if somebody has such bad character that they'll do something wrong, that they'll encourage you to do something wrong, then they don't have the character to keep your back no matter what it costs them. If I got a brother in Christ who loves Jesus Christ, is sold out to Jesus Christ, is serving Jesus Christ, and he has my back, he knows what it means to sacrifice. His priorities, his heart, his mind is higher than all of that. And so, yes, that brother might have my back. But some punk, he don't have my back. My dad always said this, any dog that'll bring a bone will take one. So in other words, when you get on the phone with somebody and you guys talk, I promise you that person then goes and talks about you. Oh, no. Oh, yes. I mean, it's 100%. Because the character's already been displayed. Got quiet. Be careful about who you hook up with. Their motive is gain. So there's the counsel of wisdom. Wisdom says, hey, listen, get away from it. Notice their way. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Wisdom will help you spot them, spot the way they're walking in and say, nope, I'm out of here. You guys want to go on and ruin your life? Guess what, brother? I'm going a different direction. Let them make fun of you. Because the day will come when they sit there and beg you to come give them a visit.
Can you put $50 in the, what's it called, commissary for me?
No.
Why not, man?
Because I'm taking my wife out to dinner. You'll see who the man is. Don't let that stone, let that peer pressure work on you. Just be a person of principle. Be a person of wisdom. Be a person of character, of ethics, and just stick with it. Amen. That's real good. Thank you. I appreciate you encouraging me. Not only that, but hey, wisdom show you their net. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. If you see it coming, you won't get caught in it. So if you wind up caught in it, it's because you're a fool. You weren't listening. No. We were doing that in the car the other day. One of the girls kept reading something to us. And me and the other girl were like, she's driving me crazy. Oh, she was reading us American Girl magazine. That's what it was. All the accessories that go to her American Girl. There's like 150 of them. We listened for about 12 to 20. And I said, is this driving you crazy? She said, yes, it's driving me crazy. La, 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 la. And then when we stopped, when she stopped, and she started going, la, la, la. That's what we do with God. That's what we do with wisdom. I know what I want to do. Don't mess up my plans! Don't get in my way! Because everybody else is doing it. I mean, all the other kids are doing it. And brother so-and-so did it, and he's serving God now. And sister so-and-so did it, and she's okay. God forgave her. And now they got a great testimony. And I won't get caught. Yeah, you will. See the net. If you can see the net, you won't get caught in the net. And you see the net by getting wisdom and understanding and knowledge of God. So wisdom will show you the net. Wisdom will also show you the real target. Look at verse 19. You see the last half of that verse, it says, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. So they're saying, dude, what we're going to do is we're going to wait here. And when they come around, we're just going to shoot them. We got a straight bead right at his head, and I can shoot. Don't forget to lead them a little bit because they might be at a gallop, just, you know, judging by how fast they're going to nail them. Hit them right through the head. And then we'll get the purse, all right? All right, so we're all set up. And you know what actually happens? While you're sitting there aiming at him, your buddy across the way says, I want it all, so I'm going to shoot him first, and then I'm going to shoot him. So you think you're laying wait for something, but what you don't realize is there's an adversary over there who's actually laying wait for you. And you get taken out before you get what you think you're going to get. That's how it works. So when you sin against God and when you go after what you want to go after, you kids, you start getting tempted to do the wrong kind of things and you think you're going after some kind of sin that's pleasurable. Something that you shouldn't do, but you think it's going to be okay and you're going to get away with it. What actually happens is instead of going after sin, something is coming after you. And it's actually the fact that you will lay in wait for your own life. Folks, do you not realize we self-destruct? Well, what did I tell you before? Don't forget this. The greatest ally of the devil is your flesh. It says greatest ally. Isn't that what happened in the garden? Didn't he say, yea, as God said, and he just kind of a little bit messed it up, and she took it from there and just went haywire with the thing. She went wild with the thing. She did what she shouldn't have done. She saw all the negative. She saw how the mean ogre God was and how God wasn't taking that good of care of her. And she decided to bite the apple. And she wasn't an apple. And then she pulled her husband down into all. You guys realize what a big mess happened when the devil found an ally in the flesh. It's not going to work out that way for me. Yeah, I know. You guys realize that some of the highest intellects are locked up in prison. That dude buying them cell phones and reselling them cell phones and all stuff, that is not a dumb dude. That kid could have conquered anything. He knew how to get money. He could see places to make money you can't see. He had a heart that was greedy. Now, it's gone. He'll prize the family too. And sitting in an orange jumpsuit, saying, what in the world am I going to do? How in the world did this happen? Claustrophobia setting in. I see the toughest of tough guys. I mean tough. I'm talking scars all over the body from getting cut up with a razor. Tough. And I'm not talking about teenager or 20-year-old. I'm talking late 30s, going into early 40s, lived an entire life like that. Just mean and nasty and low-down tough. Run like a girl. Because he doesn't want to do a year or two in jail. Run. Act like the tough guy around everybody. I'm big, big, big guns, man. A man's man. I don't want to go to jail. I can't do that again. Well, you fool, you should have thought out beforehand. I love you, but man, you're a fool. You won't see the net. You always think you can work it out. You won't recognize your heart is evil and you keep getting caught up with the wrong crowd. Be wise. This book will keep you from that. Folks, we need this. You need it. Oh, I'm in church on Sunday night. You need this. I need it. The counsel of wisdom, the call of wisdom is in verses 20 through 23. Wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets, she crieth in the chief place of the concord, in the opening of the gates, in the city, she uttereth her words, saying, how long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity, and you scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge, turn you at my reproof, behold, I'll pour out my spirit on you, I'll make known my words unto you. Hey folks, there's no excuse. There's no excuse to be a fool. There's no excuse. Wisdom is crying out. Hey, stop. I'm right here. I'll help you. I'll give you an ornament of grace and chains about your neck. I'll keep you safe. I'll lead you in a blessed life. I'll give you the true prosperity that can't go away. Stop. And we go, somebody shut that nut up. That just doesn't work nowadays. Keep your mouth. This is one of the reasons every preacher ought to be a street preacher. And you know what the simple do? You got a definition of a simple in front of you. Don't turn there right now. We'll get it. We'll get it plenty of times to come. You know what the simple do? Love their simplicity. It's okay. Let's just go get drunk. Live for today. I'll worry about that tomorrow. You idiot. Don't you see what you're running into? I'm not worried about that. Okay, fool. Go on, go party. Go live like the devil. Go do what you want. Go put everything in the world ahead of that book. Go put everything in the world ahead of your prayer life. Go put everything in the world ahead of a walk with God. Go put everything in the world ahead of witnessing. Do it. How long? It's not just the simple, it's the scorner. That's the one that's like, I mean, you know, my wife and I'll bump into them. They've heard our preaching before. That's happened a couple times not too long ago. Different instances, different places in public. We'll bump into somebody who's visited church. And we've heard, you know, it's come back to us how much they hate me and how much, you know, this, that, and the other thing. And we'll say, hey, how you doing? God bless, it's so good to see you. We missed you at church. Grace is the one doing all that. I'm like, hey, how you doing? It's good to see you. You know? And they're like, hi. That's a scorner. Yeah, whatever. That's just your opinion. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. How long are you going to keep that up? I just don't like your style. Well, that's fine. You don't have to like, you can hate my guts. I don't care. That's fine with me. I'm actually okay with that. Not you guys, because you're my church family. Please don't hate me. But, you know, I mean, people hate me. I totally understand that. Like, my personality is just, it doesn't, like, rub some people wrong. It, like, grates the skin right off their flesh. I'm like, ow! Do you have to say it that way? Like, I'm trying to be nice, really. This is me trying to be nice. I'm sorry. I get it. Okay, so you don't like me. Find another place where the guy's nice and sweet and smooth or whatever it is, the opposite of me. Tall and older and, you know, gentle, and he's been around longer and he cares more and he's just, find that, whatever you, but get with the truth. Don't scorn truth because of the messenger. Don't hate the message because you hate the messenger. I'm sorry, I don't try to make people hate me. I am who I am. And just, if you don't like it, pray that God changes me with time. I don't know what to tell you, but I don't figure there's any point in playing around with this stuff. Don't hate truth because you don't like the way it came. Don't be a scorner. He's not just calling out to the simple. He's not just calling out to the scorner. He's calling out to fools that hate true knowledge. How long are you going to hate knowledge? Well, that Bible can't be true because... Okay, really? So the things I'm about to show you, you already know because you've read it cover to cover. Well, I've read the Bible. Cover to cover? Yeah. Every time, man. Every stinking time. It's like clockwork. Yeah. Now look me right dead in the eyes. Cover to cover. They're over-concentrating. Yep. Okay, so you read, well, I don't remember that part, but, you know, I've read the Bible. No, you know what? You hate true knowledge. Because you come across things in that Bible that tell you your sin is filthy. And you don't like it. And wisdom's saying, how long? Folks, there's a call of wisdom. You guys realize every single one of you, whether you're 5 years old and you just got saved, or whether you're 55, 65, 75, and been saved since you were 5 years old, wisdom is calling out to you to get more. Ain't that a blessing? It's a blessing to me to know that I don't know it all. One of the greatest, most enlightening moments of my life came quite a while after Bible college when it dawned on me that I don't have all the answers. And I was like, wow, this is great. So I get to keep studying. I get to keep learning. I get to keep attaining. Wisdom's calling out. But the last thing, and this is brief, is the curse of wisdom. This one you don't want. Because I have called and ye refused. I stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. See, that's the negative side. People don't like the negative side. He said, I'll also laugh at your calamity. I'll mock when your fear cometh. Now, God speaking. That's pretty harsh. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, he shall have them in derision. Wow. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall ye call upon me, but I will not answer. Then shall ye seek me early. You'll get out of bed then. You'll be on your face then. You'll be begging God, oh God! But they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat. Now here's why. God's not just mean. God's going to show us why he won't listen. Because now that they're eating the fruit of the seed they sowed, they don't like the taste of the fruit. It's bitter in the stomach. It's making them sick. It's making them vomit. It's giving them all kinds of gross food poisoning. And they're like, I don't like what's in me. I don't like what I'm stuck in. I don't like what I got. I don't like what I planted. I don't like what I sowed. I don't like what I'm reaping. And I don't want to eat my crow. And God says, I'm not mocked. You sowed it. You reap it. And I called out and cried out and sought out after you, and you wouldn't listen. So you got to deal with it. They would none of my reproof. Then shall they eat the fruit of their own ways and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. They got what they were going after. They were greedy. But when a fool gets what he wants, he doesn't know how to handle it. So they self-destruct. They're rich! And they spent every last penny they got. A wise man lays up an inheritance. My dad always said, and I haven't always practiced it, but my dad always said, save every single week. I don't care if it's $5, put it in the savings. There's going to come a rainy day when you're going to need it. It's good advice. Fools get a huge inheritance from their parents, and before you know it, it's all gone. There's the fancy cars and the big house and the pool and the... We got the money! You idiot. Money doesn't last. Be wise. So their prosperity destroys them. Their turning away slayed them. But in verse 33, here's the message. Whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and be quiet from fear of evil. You worried about Ebola? Antichrist? The Catholic Church voting on gays? What are you worried about? Hearken to God, and you'll be all right.